Welcome to another episode of Kentucky Football Carpool Show. I'm Nick.
I'm Mike.
All right, here we are, back for another show again. A lot of stuff's happened since then. Obviously, we lost Klingscale.
Yeah.
Big loss to the program, but understandable.
Yeah, I mean, he got a promotion. I mean, well, he's co-defensive coordinator now.
And he would never have been a defensive coordinator here. How good of a recruiter he's been, I don't think he would be the next in line after Brad White. I don't see that. Because I think Kentucky's got to a point now where they can actually find a guy outside. But I don't know.
Yeah. No, Michigan is just a smaller program now. So,
yeah. So it's, you ain't the only one saying that. Big Dog said the same thing.
I know.
Which is really funny. But I think it was a good move by him to go. It sucks for us. Like I said, he's a big deal to us. But that's the big news that's happened since everything, since our last show. The next big news happened is Will Levis is now on campus.
Yeah. I'm looking at a thing today where they broke down his mechanism, like his throwing mechanism.
Yes.
Oh, it's unbelievable. They're saying best quarterbacks in the nation.
Yeah. No, I definitely think he's worked on his
throwing motion.
Mechanics. Yeah, he's worked on his mechanics and everything. And I mean – kind of looking at his stats stuff, kind of generally going to tell everyone we're getting a pro style quarterback, whatever you want to define that as, mostly a pocket guy, but a guy that does do things with his feet. I mean, the guy and his career stats, which, I mean, you talk about limited playing time, but for the most part, he rushed, 82 attempts for 260 yards. So he can move out of the pocket. I mean, he had a game where he had 65 yards rushing.
Yeah.
But he's a big boy. I mean, he's 6'4", 222 pounds. He was a 3-star coming out. But again, I mean, he's probably the immediately to me. I mean, I think Bo Allen will eventually be there. I think he will be a great quarterback. But I think you're immediately getting experience in a guy that's probably more game ready than anyone on the roster.
Right.
And I think, and I've been saying this, I know Chris said it, I know you said it, a lot of people said it, I think he will be the starter day one.
When your coordinator goes out and gets him right away, that usually means he's going to be the starter.
Yeah, it usually does. This is totally different than we did with Sawyer Smith. I mean, Sawyer Smith simply was there to have a quarterback. He was there to get his degree and have a quarterback there that would have to be coming in if something were to happen to Terry, and it did, of course. But this is far, far better of a player than he was.
No,
go ahead.
Will's coming thinking like, I'm going to be the starter. Like, I'm not coming in here just to get a degree and coach, like learn to coach.
He's coming from Penn State. I mean, he's coming from a big school. I mean, he's coming from a school that wins a lot too.
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Well, just not against us in the Citrus Bowl.
Yeah, that's right. But I think he will be day one starter. I think he will push Bo out. I think whoever earns the spot will get it. I know Gatewood's had a great spring practice. And, if he wins it, that's our guy,
Oh, yeah. I think you got to go with whoever wins it, though. I don't like this whole – I don't want to see multiple quarterbacks in the game.
No. I agree with that. I never was a fan of the multiple quarterback thing. I think you got to go with one guy and see how it goes. And not like a one game type of thing. I think it's literally you got to go with the guy and 4 or 5 games. If you lose all 5 games, or unless the guy's just totally horrendous, you got to play him out. You got to let it play out.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he brings experience. He brings a lot of things that Stoops has not had here. probably since Patrick Toews, honestly, with a guy that has a complete like. Can throw it downfield and stuff. And I know. Yeah. I know Johnson can do that. I know Wilson can do that. But this guy is that. I would almost say like the old style quarterback. The guy sits in the pocket, but that is kind of the old style now.
Throw more than 100 yards a game.
I wouldn't think so, but like I said, he did have a game where he ran for 65 yards. I mean, he had 17 attempts on that. I don't really know. I don't have his 40 times in front of me. I don't know how fast he is or anything like that. He may be. Rocket. I don't know, but I he doesn't seem like a person that runs like a lot. And look at his numbers. He just looks like they ran him a lot. I mean, he's averaging 3.2 yards just carry. So that tells you anything. he looks more like a guy that throws the ball. So, I am excited about him and excited about what to see from him. And that's probably the biggest news of the week of the last couple weeks
on campus. And
yeah, of course,
I can't wait to hear about his practices.
Yeah, no, and then probably the third biggest news is Boak Knight retaining after his DUI charge.
Yeah.
I know he's had a kind of, I guess people said he's had some history of this kind of stuff. This is the first I've ever heard of it. Have you heard anything else?
No, that's all I've heard. And if this is his first offense, you discipline him, but you don't fire the guy right away.
I don't think so. Let him have his day in court or whatever. You don't know the circumstances of it. And I think people nowadays rush too quickly to judgments. And
and tries to write it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like Stoops always give anybody a second chance if they just hold themselves accountable.
Yeah, I think, you know, people make mistakes or whatever. But, you know, it's a tough situation. But that's also something – I know he's representing the university and all that stuff, but, you know, I'm not saying DUIs happen because you should not get a DUI ever.
Right.
But it does happen. And it's not the end of the world. And you know, the biggest thing is he learns from this and moves on. And, and you know, if it comes out and he's, you know, a video comes out and he's really trash and he's making the program look bad, then I can understand Stoops going a different route. But as of right now, it just seems like he was pulled over and was drunk. So I don't know. The people may disagree with me on that. I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I've seen some people are really upset about it and others aren't. You know, everybody has their own opinion.
Yeah, exactly. And another thing that's been lost in translation these past few months. So moving on. So I was glad they retained him. I think he brings some kind of
I think he's a good coach.
I think he's a good coach, dude. I think we're the position he coaches at is a revolving door right now, and I think that brings some sort of normalcy there and not having to get another coach there.
Yeah, I just hope he learns his lesson and, you know, he stops drinking.
And just stops drinking and driving, really, you know.
Yeah, or if he drinks, he takes a cab. Lexington's not a big city.
Yeah, cab, no kidding.
That's like $10.
It's not worth it, man. He's finding that out now. It's not worth it. So, with that said, we will go on with who we think's going to be our potential replacements for Clean Scale. Again, a big loss, man. I can't stress that enough. Huge loss. He was a great coach.
And a great recruiter.
Good recruiter, yeah. And he's our pipeline to kind of that Michigan area that we've tapped into, that Detroit area. But that's partly why he's going to Michigan. I mean, because he does have ties there. And again, a great opportunity for him and definitely an upgrade. And regardless of how where Michigan's at as a program, I know people can joke all they want. Michigan's still Michigan.
Yeah, I mean, it's still a big name school.
I mean, it's huge. I mean, you're a defense coordinator for Michigan. I mean, you're talking about a resume builder. I mean, I'm not knocking Kentucky because Kentucky is putting people in the NFL now and stuff like that. But what I'm saying is it's Michigan.
Right.
And at the end of the day, Michigan can go the next 20 years being irrelevant. At the end of the day, they're still Michigan. And they're still playing on the main stage, and they're still playing Ohio State every year. They're still playing, you know, they're Michigan. So they're blue blood. It's just like Notre Dame. I mean, I don't know how I'm Notre Dame every year, but they're Notre Dame, and I understand why the lure, I guess you want to say, of it. But his replacements, I mean, there's some three big ones that's lined up to me. I think the Cooley guy from LA would be the one that I would like. I think Chris said that he's not going to be able to, they're not going to be able to match his pay.
Right.
I can understand that too. But I think the NFL route is a better route to go with replacing him.
For sure. Anytime you just get that NFL on the staff, I think it just helps with everything.
Yeah, of course. I know there's a couple other names been thrown around there. Archie Collins from Pittsburgh. I think he's kind of a journeyman. No, I'm sorry. John Jan Kex, I guess it's a Kex. He's been a journeyman. But yeah, Archie calls for Pitt, you know, and he said, and Chris saw that he read that Raiders assistant DB coach, I can see how you say it. Tabor Johnson.
Yeah, I really like the Archie Tabor. Just Pitt was actually number 9th overall in the country with interceptions in 2020.
No, there you go.
So that's a good pickup.
I hear you, Mike. I hear you out here doing a little research, are you?
Yeah, just a little, just a wee bit.
Just a wee bit. Well, I mean, I'm telling you, man, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. It's pretty good numbers, though. I mean, Pittsburgh's not playing slouches either.
Yeah, I mean, they're ACC.
Yeah, I mean, they got to play Clemson, don't they?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they were number 9 in the country with interceptions.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Bad number. So you get him working with Mark Stoops, who is a guru at the secondary.
Well, that's the big thing about the secondary is no matter who you bring in here, you're going to, at the end of the day, you're going to look back.
That's what he knows best.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to have Ed Reed. I mean, I know that'll never happen because Ed Reed's probably destined to be a defense coordinator somewhere.
Yeah.
But gosh, how awesome would that be? Boy. Huh?
Yeah, that would be amazing.
That's
a recruiting tool. play for me.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, that's the one thing Stoops can always push around. Is like, man, Ed Reed's one of the top 3 best safeties of all time. I mean, he is top 3 best safeties of all time, and he can always put that around. I know that guy, you know, you can go the Polamalu route and all that stuff, but you got Ed Reed in your back pocket. My goodness.
Yeah, he's literally one of the top 3, like you said.
Oh, yeah, all time. All time.
Better than Polamalu, for real.
I think Ed Reed can hit and he can cover real good. Polamalu did pretty much everything on the field.
Yeah. But Ed Reed was also a ball hawk. Ed Reed scored a lot of touchdowns.
I mean, Polamalu scored a lot too. I'm not a Pittsburgh fan, by the way, because trust me. Fuck no. Just gonna put that there. Hell being no. But
Steelers fans kind of like being an Ohio State fan. They just kind of suck.
Well, hold on. Wait, easy now. We know my dad is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he loves the Steelers now. My dad and brother. Yeah, I had to grow up with that shit, but. But no, I don't know, you're messing around, but yeah, no, I Paul Bobby was really fun to watch. I mean, that guy could block punts, field goals, don't matter.
I just jumped over the line.
Yeah, he just would jump over the line. But no, Ed Reed, I agree with you on it though. I really have Ed Reed to me is the best of all time. But I know that there's
more like a linebacker style too. I always felt
kind
like.
Of yeah, he pretty much is. I would think
up on the line.
I would think Ed Reed, see, Polamalu was kind of that Swiss Army knife where you kind of do everything. Yeah. But Ed Reed was way better recovering, and he laid the wood on people, and he would get interceptions, he'd run it back.
Yeah.
And then I know Polamalu scored a lot, and he did a lot of stuff, but I mean, if I was picking out a safety that wanted to do a lot of run stopping and kind of what they did with Polamalu, I mean, he would line up as a linebacker and then pull back and do some crazy shit like that, but... but anyways, I don't. This is a Kentucky Carpool Show, not Steelers Nation. I would love to have him as our defensive backs coach. But I think going that route of that NFL influence, I think that's the route they need to start heading towards.
Yeah,
I think all the great teams have that kind of feel to them. You know, guys that are, you know, going to be NBA or NFL coaches one day. You know. Yeah. I mean, that's what Alabama does. I mean, they get guys that get fired in the NFL or college head coaches and bring them in.
Right. Saban brings them in, builds them back up, and then rejuvenates their career.
I think it's just that guy. I think it's just having those professional coaches to me and head coaches, you bring in a professionalism that get it as a business. You're not getting a guy that's coming in here. It's his first gig or whatever. You're getting a guy, even a grad assistant from the NFL, understands the business side of the game. If that makes sense.
No, it does.
And they bring connections with them. So, like, you know, you get an NFL guy says, you know, listen, this stuff's great, but this is what the NFL cares about.
Yeah. This is what they're looking for. If you want to make the NFL, watch your film. This is what they do.
Yeah, this is what they do. You know, you can do all this crazy stuff or whatever, or lift all this weight, but this is what the NFL wants. So this is what you need to be working on. And that's what guys, especially grad assistants from the NFL who do scouting and stuff like that, those guys know what you're looking for. And again, I mean, that's what makes kids want to come to your school and play for you. Yeah. NFL drafts. That's why people go to Alabama. That's why people go to Clemson. That's why people go to Ohio State, because they get people in the league.
Yep.
They get the exposure. They're on TV, national TV, obviously winning championships, but that's why those teams keep getting richer. And we have to build from from freshman on, you know?
Oh, yeah. But I think so, that point where we're not building from freshman on. You know, we're more refining their skills now. I feel like we're bringing in really good freshmen is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, no, I agree. But you know, kind of Chris also wanted to say that Stoops wants a coach who is going to help him step on Tennessee while they're down.
Yeah.
And both coaches would help in that regard. So that's kind of where he's at with it. So the coaches we've named off are all coaches that Stoops feels like they're going to keep. And that's the truth. I mean, you want Kentucky is now come to a point where they're better than Tennessee.
Yeah.
They're better than South Carolina. Okay, that's two of them. They're better than Vandy. That's three. They were better in Missouri. Missouri's now stepped up, probably about even with Kentucky.
I still think we're better overall.
I do too. I think we're in a better program. We're further along. Missouri's not as further along, not as far along as we are. And you want to be that two or three team battling. And then, like I've always said, one of these years you're going to go into that Georgia game, and you're going to get some lucky bounce, and you're going to get it.
Or you're just going to play the perfect game.
It's true. And Georgia's not. I mean, this year, I think it was CBS that started saying the first loss of every team, and the one for Kentucky was against Georgia. That would make Kentucky 6-0 start the season. That's beating LSU along the way, and Missouri.
Yeah, that's huge.
Oh yeah, if you lose to Georgia there 6-1, the tail end of your schedule is Louisville trash, New Mexico State trash, Vandy trash, and I believe Tennessee. I think we play Tennessee. They might be one of the ones, but I
always feel like Tennessee is one of the last games of the year.
Yeah, but it's kind of weird this year. Let's see, because we're playing Missouri's second game of the season. Hold on, I'll get down to it. So we played Tennessee week 18, or we played September 18th.
The NFL.
What now?
So we're on the NFL schedule week 18.
Obviously, I know shit. September 18th is when they play Tennessee, but after Georgia, they play Mississippi State. They play Tennessee. Oh wait, is that right? Okay, so they play Tennessee. Okay, I'm sorry, I said it wrong. November 6th is Tennessee. Okay, all
right.
And then Vanderbilt on the 13th, New Mexico State on the 20th, and Louisville on the 27th.
And then Bama on December 4th.
Obviously, so September 18th. Yeah, that's a good point. You slip that in there. I like it. I'll probably be a dad by then, so you know. The September 18th is actually Tennessee Chattanooga.
Yeah. So
just clarify that. I don't know why they put Tennessee Chattanooga. Why don't they just put Chattanooga?
The second team in Tennessee behind Vandy.
Yeah, I mean, I think Tennessee. I mean, I know people are. I've seen. That brings up the next point. I just saw the odds for the win the East. Okay, Kentucky is tied with Tennessee.
That's ridiculous.
At 14-1, that is ridiculous. Tennessee has been seriously gutted.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
They've been gutted. Tennessee's been gutted. They're behind Missouri, Georgia, and Florida.
Yeah.
And the bullshit part is they're 50-1 to win the SEC. We should be the favorite.
Right.
Clearly, we're the best team in the SEC.
I mean, obviously. I think that should be like 2-1 odds.
Yeah, no kidding. I should not be getting money off that.
Losing money.
Yeah. No, I'm really surprised with the Tennessee stuff. And I know the coach that got from UCF was, I think it's a pretty decent hire, but their team is gutted.
Oh, yeah. There's such a dumpster fire that it's going to take a while for that to rebuild.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Like, Stoops just wants to keep them down. He won't admit it, but he hates Tennessee.
Well, it's because they negative recruited him for several years, and I don't blame him.
He definitely hated Jeremy Pruitt.
Oh, yeah. Jerry Pruitt was a piece of shit. I'm sorry.
I think that 34, yeah, he was a piece of shit.
He's a piece of shit. He fired a coach, a defensive line coach of the UK game. Just fired him, middle of the game. Told me the hell of the team.
Yeah, imagine like going back in that time, like, oh, yeah, you're fired.
That's trash right there. You know, That's trash. And it wasn't the defensive line's fault. I'm going to tell you that right now. It was the quarterback was throwing picks left and right.
The two pick sixes that they threw in the first half, or they threw like four or five altogether.
That's what I'm saying. That's what lost in the game, not defensive line coach. But, you know, that's kind of trash that they had down there, Pruitt. I will give this to Tennessee. The coach they hired, he seems like a pretty decent dude. So
good guy. But fuck Tennessee.
Yeah, no kidding. And he was like their 10th choice. Yeah. So that wasn't like some kind of home run hire. That was like their 10th choice. They wanted all these other guys that they're like, they're not coming to your school.
Because, Tennessee's so much better than Alabama.
Oh, yeah. Tennessee's not going to beat Alabama for a long time, buddy. A long time.
That's probably going to break the all-time winning streak. It's going to break with the streak they had on us.
Their fans deserve it.
Oh, absolutely.
Their fans deserve everything they get because their fans are always chesty every year thinking that they're going to do this and that. And the fact is Tennessee football, I'll go ahead and say it, will never be back.
No. I can't wait for them to roll into town and we just beat the shit out of them again.
Tennessee's going to be down for a while, and it's not – and I think when I'm saying down, I mean, like, they're going to be 7-5, 6-6, pretty much what they've seen in the last 10 years.
There's a good possibility that they might not score a touchdown on us in 2 years. I bet we shut them out.
Our defense is going to be really good, but I don't know. Their coach is coming in. That coach from UCF,
he's going to throw the ball out, and they're going to get picked off.
What's his name, Frost or something? No,
not Frost. He's at Nebraska.
I forget their Tennessee's head coach. I can't keep track of all their coaches. Hell, they've had like 10 in my lifetime.
I think it was Bob Beatty from Trinity High School.
Yeah, right. They've had a lot of coaches, man. They've ran through a lot of coaches trying to figure out that one.
Side note, Bob Beatty probably have a better record than Jeremy Pruitt.
Probably. Jeremy Pruitt had all this talent and didn't know what to do with it because he was such an asshole.
Yeah, he was such a D-bag, nobody would play for him.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it comes down to. And the guy's an asshole, and he's, he'll coach again one day, but at least for the next few years, he'll be sitting on his couch because they'll probably do no show calls on him or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
So for a couple of years, because he's just sitting out here paying players. I mean, Tennessee's going to be getting a lot. I mean, they're going to get hammered.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. They just got gutted. And NCAA is still investigating UofL for FBI stuff like 3 years ago. So Tennessee is going to have to go probably at least 4 years with this hanging over their program. And then when it finally comes out, it'll be hammer season.
Yeah.
So I'm a firm believer in don't postseason ban yourself. But they might need to because they're literally paying players.
No, I'm a firm believer of what North Carolina did. If you get caught, just deny it till you die.
They fought it. I mean, they fought it. That's the thing. They fought it. North teams fight it.
And they were fine. They came out basically unscathed.
I mean, there's other teams inside our division that's had some sketchy stuff come out, that's some violations and stuff. That's what I'm saying. If Kentucky just keeps doing the right thing, hell, they might be the one on top, but it's all said and done.
Right.
But yeah, Tennessee football is like Louisville basketball. They're just the gift that keeps giving. It is like I haven't seen Louisville basketball. The free fall from them is unheard of.
It's just been unbelievable.
Tennessee's free fall has been gradual fall for like 15 years now. So
I don't know when was Peyton Manning last there.
Yeah. They won a championship after the year after Peyton Manning. That was pretty much it. I mean, pretty much Philip Fulmer gets fired or forced resigned, whatever you call it. That point on, they went straight down.
Yeah. And then athletic director, they just got awful.
Yeah, no, it's straight downhill from there. But it's to our benefit, and we get a lot of good recruits because they're trash. So
yeah, because nobody wants to –
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is they were stealing recruits from us for years. And that's because, obviously everyone in Tennessee is going to go to Tennessee, and then everyone in Kentucky that are decent is going to go to Tennessee. But now we're the big dog on the block, or becoming the big dog on the block. Now everyone from Tennessee can still be close to home and go play for a really good program.
I think Stoops was going to prove that this year.
Oh, yeah. I think he's right going to stomp them.
It's going to be 49-0.
He's going to stomp. I was going to tell you right now. He's going to stomp them. And I think they stopped Missouri because that's the one game that they say that the players still talk about.
Yeah.
They said the players are so pissed off about that game, and I don't blame them. I mean, Missouri was on the field for like 80 plays, and they only won by like what, 7 or something, or 13. Yeah. I forget they only scored like one touchdown, I think.
Yeah, they barely beat us, and they had the ball literally 80% of the time.
They had ran over almost. They had the ball for, let's see here. Hit a ball for like almost what 50 minutes, I think it was, or something like that. It was some kind of crazy 48 minutes or something. It was fucking crazy. Take the ball for like 13 minutes the entire game. They didn't have it for a full quarter.
Yeah.
And you talk about defense that was tired. And it was also on the heels of finding out that one of their coaches was gonna die.
Yeah.
And so a beloved coach.
2010 is how bad they beat us.
2010?
Yeah.
I think they only had one touchdown, though.
Yeah, it was they had two touchdowns unless we gave up a pick six.
I can't remember.
Six, that's good.
Well, regardless, to have the ball that long and only have 20 points is not something that you'd be excited about. And then they talk about their quarterback being great. He didn't have very good numbers against us.
No, well, I can find it for you real quick.
He didn't even throw a touchdown. Their running backs gutted us because they had the ball.
21-30 for 201 yards. Roundtree scored two touchdowns.
Yeah, so he ran the ball. We were tired.
Back they've ever had.
What now?
Roundtree is probably their best running back they've ever had.
Yeah, probably right. But it brings up my next point. Also on Pro Football Focus, a couple of our guys made the list. Kennard ranked as the second, which is ridiculous. Second best returning tackle. He's the best. But, you know, I get it. Kentucky's name is always going to let guys be not number one, right?
Right.
And then the one that is most confused, which Kennard, I mean, you could do one or two, whatever. But Rodriguez, eighth best back.
Who did they have ahead of him, just out of curiosity?
Well, I got it here. Yeah, good thing you asked that, because I did keep it because I wanted you to know. Now, there is a really – I know I wanted to tell you these names in front of them. Now, the one guy I will get behind is the running back down in Auburn. He's pretty solid.
Yeah, he's good.
I will get behind him. And that's Tank Bigsby. He's pretty solid. I mean, he's pretty solid running back, but he also got the ball majority of the time, which – I mean, Rodriguez was still splitting time. He sat. Rodriguez was out like what, 4 games last year, right?
Yeah.
So they have a guy from Deuce Vaughn from Kansas State.
Trash.
And like ridiculous that anyone from there. Brooks kid from Oklahoma.
Trash.
Robinson from Alabama.
Trash.
Let's see here.
The Alabama kid's only there because he's from Alabama.
Yeah, and then they have some Jerrion Early, Ole Miss. I don't know. Brees Hall, Iowa State.
Trash.
Max Borgie, Washington State.
Really?
And then Chris Rodriguez at 8. So look who is on the top 10 list. Frank Gore Jr.
Nice.
Yeah, I just realized that. He's Southern Miss. That's pretty cool.
I personally love Frank Gore.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. He's good. But yeah, that was another. I feel like that's kind of disrespect because
Rodriguez is the top 3 back.
He's the best running back in the SEC. I'm just gonna go and tell you. I'm not trying to be a homer.
Okay, they might put bigger numbers as the kid from Auburn, like you said.
I mean, the kid from Auburn got all the touches, so I mean, it's easier to be able to say, "Oh yeah, he's great." I mean, he was great last year. But I mean, for Rodriguez get those amount of touches, I mean, he probably has similar numbers, right?
I would think so.
I mean, that's kind of where I see it, but you know, like I said, it's all this stuff is motivation. I mean, what's up?
Well, this year's going to hurt him. Not really hurt him, but he's not going to get the full load either because we're so deep at running back with Juhan McClain. I mean, we got just so many people.
Yeah, McClain. That's the other thing too. McClain might beat Smoke out for number 2.
Yeah.
They say he's a great pass catcher and route runner. And that's crazy to think. Listen, Kavassier Smoke to me is a great running back. It's unfortunate with the whole headache thing he had going on. But giving other guys – but since that, he's given other guys a chance to play. Yeah, and that's what happens. Kind of other side notes. Brendan Bates was the best tight end in the spring. Just needs to improve his blocking. He's not the best tight end on the roster. I'm going to go and tell you that right now.
It's Upshaw.
Yeah, Upshaw is going to be the best offensive weapon we have all year. Not because I think he's the best, but I think Rodriguez is the best offensive weapon we have. But
I don't know. I think Robinson, he looks like a pro out there.
Yeah, Robinson. Yeah, of course. Robinson's obviously in the Heisman running, but I just think, my opinion, I think Upshaw is going to have a humongous year. Yeah. I think he's going to be a guy that'll be drafted.
I just have a good feeling about. I think Will Levis is going to come in and have like a Kyle Trask kind of year. Just put up big.
That'd be awesome. He's similar to. I would think he's similar to his kind of style.
I do too. I would think. If anything, better. He's probably sort of like him and like Vince Young.
Vince Young.
Getting on that.
Yeah, I'd love to have that. And then kind of the last little side notes and kind of cap off the spring, because they're getting on the summer practice now, is Tisdale returning kicks and punts with Tay-Tay Crumbs, or Crooms, I guess.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Those are all side petty stuff. That's nothing solid yet, obviously, until you get down to the season. But, I mean, those are kind of spring notes. We kind of now get to kind of see where we're at with our quarterbacks now. That's kind of where I'm looking forward to. So I think the real quarterback battle begins now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this is when it starts. Now you have all the competitors there.
You have all of them there. And I still think – I think there will be some more wide receivers that go. I have no insider information at all. But I do think when all spring practice and summer practice rolls around, you'll have more guys leave.
I just think this freshman class has some really good receivers in it.
Well, I think they've been over recruited, or they've been recruited over. Should put it that way.
Yeah.
And that's because I just don't think the talent we had at our receiver was very good. No. To put it that way, and that's not trying to be disrespectful to anybody, and parents or their kids, they're going to think they're the best, and I get it. I was never a wide receiver, so I'm sure that you could probably school me on wide receiver routes and stuff like that. But when I watch Kentucky's wide receivers the last 2 years, they are nowhere near.
Yeah,
what we need to compete.
Really, just the receivers and the quarterback play the past couple of years has not been very impressive.
I think how much I will say. I've took it up for Terry a lot, and obviously I know you have too, and obviously been very critical of Terry when he was here. But also think something that should be said about wide receivers' inability to get open.
Inability to get open, and they dropped a lot.
Yeah, dropped a lot. Yeah, Hayes, he, man, he had some balls dropped right in his lap, and he just dropped them.
Yeah.
So no help in the quarterbacks out there, and that is not on Terry, Again, I think they have raised the quality of wide receiver. Obviously, getting Wandale Robinson, who's the Heisman hopeful. he has odds on him to win the Heisman. I mean, it's pretty big.
Watch it. Like, it just looks such a natural connection between the two.
Yeah. And then you got, like I said, I think Upshaw is going to be the best weapon for any quarterback.
And Ali's probably like, thank God I have help this year.
No kidding. Like, yeah. I mean, that's the one guy that could get open.
Yeah.
He's in the wrong position too. He's playing way wide out and stuff like that, where he's more of a slot guy. But again, I mean, I think they've loaded up. They've really, really, really loaded up on the offense this offseason, and hopefully we'll see it. So I still think the defense is going to be a top.
The game, I'm going to be disappointed.
What now?
If we don't average 30 points a game, I'm probably going to be disappointed.
Well, I still don't think you're going to do that. I think that some people believe they are, but me personally, I still think that defense is still going to win for Kentucky. And I know that's people don't like to hear that, but I know.
Red butter, but I still think we put up a shit ton of points.
I hope you're right, man. I'm thinking more like I just want an offense that averages 20.
We'll never win the SEC East. We'll have to average 30 points a game to win the SEC East. So I'm just going to go ahead and tell you that right now.
Probably.
Unless we get a bunch of rain games against Florida and Georgia.
Well.
But in order to beat those two teams, we're going to have to put up 30 points.
I just want an offense that can average 24 plus points, man. And I think if they had that the last 2 years, they would have been, they would have had 10 wins.
Yeah.
And it's just telling me.
Or at least it sounds like offense that can just control the ball and give defense a break.
Yeah, that's the big thing. And I think that, you know, I think Lynn Bowden's year, they did have a great offense statistically, as far as rushing goes, historic numbers. But still, it was one dimensional, and you're just not going to win. You're not going to win the SEC East with one dimensional like that.
We would never win the SEC East like that, but
we would have won a couple more games.
First things ever.
But damn, dude, I hear you over there, Hikes Lane over there, dude.
Yeah. Somebody probably robbed the Chase Bank again.
It's getting rough around there.
I've lived in this house not even a full 2 years, or not even a full year, I'm sorry. And the Chase Bank at the end of my street has been robbed twice.
Well, you know, Hikes Point's popping now, dude.
And then, oh, and then you throw in the fact that some dude backed up an F-250 and put a chain around the ATM and just drug it off.
There you go. Again, it's a pop in place now.
Yeah, meet me at the point.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, lots of people meet me at the point. We'll rob the bank. Oh, man. That is funny. But, all right, well, yeah, looking forward to it, man. We're getting on the summer ball. And
I can't wait for football season to start.
Oh, I know. 100 days, man. 100 days.
It's going to be a long 100 days. Like, as much as I love, like, NHL playoffs, football season is so much better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what we were talking about today. I mean, this as far as college athletics go, man, the gap between college basketball and NBA is humongous. The gap between NFL and college football, they're both very entertaining.
Yeah.
And it's very fun to watch. And I mean, where I gauge a sport is, do I watch games that aren't my team?
Yeah.
And how much I love the Reds. I don't watch much baseball outside the Reds because there's 162 games. with the college basketball, I'll be honest with you, unless I'm like betting on a game or something, I'm not watching a game on a Tuesday night.
But I'm watching just about every college football game and every NFL game.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I watch every UK game. I'll never miss a UK basketball game. I'm just going to put that out there.
Yeah, obviously.
Ever. And even if they go 0-30 next year, I'll still watch every game.
But I'm watching like an Army-Navy game because I have like $50 on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just football's just more entertaining, man. It just is.
Yeah. I remember I think it was 2 years ago, I was watching South Florida, Illinois, just like on a Friday night.
I love the bowl games, man. I think the bowl games are awesome.
Oh, bowl games are by far one of the best seasons.
I swear. I know someone was on there talking about how they just get rid of the bowl games, just make a playoff system. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, maybe I'm the minority, and I know that you like them too, but I love the bowl games. I mean, every fucking bowl game. I mean, when that's going on during Christmas time, yeah, I pop on a bowl game. And
that was the holidays. I like, because like my wife's family does like 15 fucking Christmases. And so I just sit there and watch the bowl game. There's always a bowl game I can sit there and watch.
And plus, that cover bridge that we do with that, all the games, that makes it more fun.
Oh, it's, you know, I'm putting my mortgage on like Southern Miss State.
Yeah, that's right. We got pretty close the last couple of years. We did a pretty good job picking the games.
Yeah.
Like last year, I think we only missed like 7 or 8, I think.
Yeah.
So, they're literally random. Like, I don't know shit about, Buffalo, or you know, I mean, it's like I look at teams like, now let's take okay, we'll go that route, you know.
Yeah, let's take Toledo.
Yeah, no, it's like UT saying that, whatever that there's like one like a Roadsters or Roosters or something like that, UT Arlington or something. I don't know, it's some kind of saying UT San Antonio or something. Yeah. You know, talking about that team, they're like 9-3 last year.
Yeah.
But the Roadrunners, they're the Roadrunners. Like, I bet it did like twice last year, too.
We won on one of them, I'm pretty sure.
I'm a believer, man. The Roadrunners, I'm a believer.
Game parlay on one.
Yeah, I think it's UTSA. I think it's what it is.
TSA, yeah.
University. UTSA, yeah. Yeah. I'm a believer, man. I'm a believer in them.
I got a hoodie.
That's right. Yeah, right. If they win me more money, I'll get a hoodie. Anyways, all right. Well, I'm Nick.
I'm Mike. Go Cats.
100 days away, man. 100 days away.
Can't wait.